Amen. All right, we're teaching on the supernatural church, and we're still in this area called the new economy. The new economy. Now, this part that we're getting into now, it might not be something that you can, I won't say it, but it's something that you're going to have to take some time, meditate on a little bit, and so forth, because a lot of times what people try to do is they don't really study the Word. They just come and hear a sermon and say, oh, wasn't that nice? Well, that's not the idea. The idea is for it to work in your life. So not only be a hearer of the Word, but a doer only. So, in reading this scripture, let's start in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Glory to God. Now, what we did is basically, when you want to really understand the supernatural, you have to go back to the beginning, back to the time of Adam. And the Bible talks about it and talks about how Adam in chapter 2 of Genesis actually named the animals. And that God gave Adam an assignment in the garden, and he gave him what was known as a blessing. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that moveth upon the earth. Now he gives him this blessing. Now the blessing was the empowerment that God put on Adam and Eve, that they can in fact create the garden everywhere they went. So they're really never supposed to leave the garden. The garden was supposed to go before them. In other words, the garden was the presence of God, and they were never supposed to leave that presence. So now, this man was very powerful. In fact, later on in chapter 2, he puts him in the garden and tells him then to guard it and keep it. And then he said to name the animals. So Adam really named the animals. So what scientists are saying right now is that because of the fallen state of mankind, we're only accessing something like 8 to 10% of our mental capacity. And they're putting movies out now, Lucy's and all those film movies, talking about what happens when you access more capacity. And that's what one of our speakers is going to come, and she's going to actually show you where, as you get older, your memory is not supposed to get worse, it's supposed to get better. And so, in this, we're discovering some things. And this is where science and the Bible are beginning to come together. So now, Adam did these things, but in chapter 3, Adam and Eve fell. How did they fall? They sinned in the garden. They disobeyed God and ate from a tree that God gave a prohibition. He said, do not eat of that tree. Well, they did it. And as they did, they now were alien from God. They didn't know God. They ran from God. And now they had been born again, not from death to life, but from life to death. And Jesus was the first man born from death to life. Now, he came as a man in the earth. And I think sometimes people think he came as God. He was fully God, but he had to set his Godhead ability aside because he couldn't operate in this earth outside of the authority of the man that God had given the authority to. So he came as a man. Now he came to demonstrate what things the man had a capability of doing. But let's go and look at something first. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. And he says here in verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, and the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now notice why he was manifested. So he might do what? Destroy the works of the devil. Let's take that same verse and put it up there, please, in the Amplified Translation. All right? In the Amplified Translation, it says this. But he who commits sin, who practices evil doings, meaning that this is a person's lifestyle. Now, we know that people sin. People miss the mark. And the Bible says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to what? Forgive you your sins and do what else? Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So people miss it. But he said here, living in it is of the devil. Takes his character from the evil one. For the devil has sinned, violated the divine law from the beginning. And the reason the Son of God was made manifest or visible was to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works the devil has done. Everything. So what is God saying here? He is saying that Jesus came. And one of the main reasons he came was to destroy the works of the devil. I mean, annihilate all evidence that the devil has been into somebody's life. Amen. Take it completely out. Now, a lot of times we don't look that far at in terms of the power of the gospel. But this gospel is designed to eradicate. In other words, when you get born again, you get a brand new spirit. He that, any man that is in Christ is what? A new creature. You get a brand new inside. You are somebody you never were before inside. How about the mind? You can renew your mind. To the point that I know that when I went back to my old hometown, and this guy came up to me, he said, do you remember when we used to steal those hubcaps off of those cars and so forth? And I said, well, yeah, but I didn't remember. See, I figured this. If God can forget, we can forget. He can take it out of your bank. How about your body? Make it so it's no trace. I said he can make it so there is no trace that the enemy ever came into your life. Say amen to that. Let me just give you a scripture on here. If you'll turn with me, glory to God, to Psalm 105 and verse 37. See, a lot of people think things are too hard for God, but they're not. See, God is an originator. Say originator. Satan can't do that. God can make you over. And some of us may need a makeover. I'm just throwing that out there now. Praise the Lord. Okay, but look what he says here. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble or sick person among their tribes. Not one. Now somebody might think, well, they got a sickness that can't be healed. Oh, wait a minute. It doesn't make any difference what you've got. Because there were some people over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. Could you flip over there with me right quick, please? Over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. And it says here, and starting at verse 29, and Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came to him, having with them those that were what? Lame, come on, blind, come on, dumb, and maimed, and many others. And they cast him down at Jesus' feet. What is a maimed person? A person without a limb. A person who's missing a part. They might have been in a war. They might have been born with a defect or whatever have you. It didn't make any difference. They threw him down at Jesus' feet. The Bible says in verse 31, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be made whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they did what? They glorified the God of Israel. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Whole. Let's go to another one. Let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Over in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, this is when Jesus runs up on this demoniac. And the Bible says here in verse 1, start there. And it came to pass when they came to the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. It said, and when he was come up out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had a dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure you that you torment me not. Now that's the demon speaking through a demon-possessed man. For he said unto him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Now this is just very interesting here, because the demons did come out of the man, and the Bible says it was a legion of demons. It was a legion of demons. Now get what I'm saying now. A legion of demons. A legion could be 2,000. Some people say it's 5,000. But anyway, it's a bunch. So this man has a bunch of demons loaded in him. But Jesus has authority over a bunch of demons. Now he wasn't operating in God. He wasn't God. He was man with God. Say amen to this. But look at the spiritual capacity of a man who doesn't even have God. Look how many demons that person can hold. So I'm saying to you that this man was holding legions of demons inside of him. This is how much spiritual capacity. If you can hold that much of the devil, how much of God can you hold? So this is very important. What has happened? The enemy has tried to talk us out of who we are. So this is a man without God with this many demons in him and functioning here. And watch this. Keeping control of that whole coastline. Of the whole coastline. One man with demons in him. So Jesus cast the demons out. Now they went into hogs, and the hogs got so much sense, they ran in the sea. They didn't want the demons in them. But anyway, so notice how they found this man. Let's come down to verse 14. Verse 14. And this is the way they found the man. And they that had fled, fed the swine, fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was done. What was halabuchunda? Come back to that last verse, please. It's kind of tough to read. Was that was done. Keep going. And they come to Jesus and see him with the possessed, him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his what mind? Right mind. And they what? They were afraid. So I'm talking about somebody out of their mind that the world has signed off on and said they are mentally ill and they're going to have to be like that for life. Not when the kingdom comes. Because when the kingdom comes, everything changes. I'll say it one more time. When the kingdom comes, everything changes. So it's hope for everybody. So it doesn't make any difference who the people are, what background they have, so forth and so on. Notice, in this particular situation, here is God. Now, God is stirring this thing up. Boom. Next thing you know, here is a man who is out of his mind. Now he's in his right mind. Now, that's good news, isn't it? Because you can get a person and nothing's too hard for God. God can make it happen in their life. Can you say amen to that? Now, this is showing you a little bit about the spiritual capacity of a man. Now, let's go and go a little bit further about the spiritual capacity of a man. This is just a man now. because this is the way God made him. And Adam, remember, Adam got away from God, and now he doesn't have the unlimited power that God gives him. Now he's got to be limited within the confines of what he was born with and so forth. Let's go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Now watch this. Matthew chapter 4, here's what he says. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Say tempted. The devil is a tempter. There are three things that he uses to try to get advantage over mankind. First is temptation. Next is deception. Thirdly is condemnation. Now, with condemnation, the reason why it's so poisonous is because it won't let faith work. And remember what I said? There are places you cannot go without faith. I couldn't get in Nigeria. Not last week, I couldn't. Because he had locked me out. He had used a system to lock me out. But I took a step of faith. And you can do the same thing. Now, we're going to go into that in just a minute. So, here he is. And he says, the tempter came. So Satan's tempting him now. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. Now, what happened here? 40 days of fasting. Now he's hungry. The hunger comes back. And the hunger comes back because now if he doesn't eat something, then the body would start to feed on itself.
Right.
God says that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
And you're supposed to preserve it. So now he's got to eat something. So it's a good time to tempt him.
Right.
Oh, here's a person. They need some money. So here comes the devil. The devil says, I got an idea. Whatever it is. And guarantee you, he doesn't have an idea to pray. I can guarantee you that is not his idea. Okay. All right. So here comes the tempter. But he comes at a time that you're most vulnerable. He's got that much sense. Okay. So he tempts with something that possibly he could have some victory in. Okay. So when the tempter came, he said, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Here's a question for you. Could he, Jesus, have done that?
Yes.
Yes, sir. It wouldn't have been a temptation if he couldn't. He could have turned a stone into bread.
Right.
Why didn't he? He only did what the Father said to do. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good.
Go ahead, though. Yes, sir.
That's it. The tempter comes. He comes when we are vulnerable. The money hasn't come yet. Or you just got a bad report. Or whatever have you. Well, what does he want? He wants your speech. Remember what I told you Jesse Duplantis came here and preached? He said, God said to me, I am God. Jesse, I am God. Jesse said, I agree with that. Praise God. He said, and I have the power to take your life.
Right.
Jesse said, okay. But I do not have the authority.
Yes.
Wow. Why? Because of the death and life of where?
In the power of the tongue.
Proverbs 18:21. Now, I'm finishing what Jesse said now. A lot of people came up to heaven here. It says, I brought them up here. But Jesse, I had nothing to do with it. Their mouth brought them up.
Right. My God.
Are you with me?
Yes.
That's the tempter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Make you say something that through your own authority,
right,
hang you, hung by the tongue.
Right.
Remember the two groups? Let us go up at once and possess it. We're well able. Another group, we can't take it. There are giants in the land. Who went over?
Joshua,
the group that said, Joshua and Caleb. Who stayed there?
The
3 million people. All based on what you said.
Right.
Why? Because words were given authority in the earth.
Right. Come on, Doc.
They are the things that created it.
Yes, Lord
Jesus. I don't care how bad it looks, speak the word.
Amen.
Say what he said. Why? Because now God can get involved and be in your affairs.
Yes, Lord.
Don't let him frustrate
you. Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, yeah.
So we got to do that. And then growing up says, because the flesh wants to say what it wants to say.
Right.
It wants to give you a piece of its mind. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Well, that's probably all you got. But give me what you got.
My gosh.
You know what I'm saying? That's the tempter. Always working. Now, what I want to say is, as you and I have been called and born again, Jesus came to connect us up to the original source of power and provision that Adam had in the garden before the fall. Shall I say that over again?
Yes.
Jesus came to connect us up to the original power, source of power and provision that Adam had in the garden. He was teaching his disciples how to fix a problem without it being fixed to hard labor. Should I say that one again? He came to teach us how to fix a problem, financial or otherwise, without being it tied to hard labor. Got it? Now, let's just take an example of that. Glory to God. Look at Luke chapter 1. Over in Luke chapter 1. Glory to God. How are we doing? We doing okay? Over in Luke chapter 1. He said in verse 1. For as much as, I'm on the wrong scripture. Luke chapter 4, chapter 5 and verse 1. I'm going to get it right in a minute. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed him on to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. This is Jesus now preaching. And he saw two ships standing by the lake. The fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their what? Nets. Underline nets. N-E-T-S. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. He prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. Now, I put that same scripture down I looked it up in the Living Bible, and I said what it said to you. Let down your nets and you will catch a lot of fish. Let down your nets and you will catch a lot of fish. What did I tell you? Jesus came to show us how to fix a problem without it being attached to hard labor. Y'all with me? So what he do is, and when he had left speaking, let down your nets for a draught. Next verse, please. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have what? Toil all night. Say hard labor. Toiling was a product of the curse because of Adam and Eve's transgression. God has redeemed us, come on, from the curse. So no more toiling in our lives. The word toil means, glory to God, I know I had it right here. What happened to toil? The word toil means to labor with pain or fatigue. It means labor that oppresses the body or the mind. Toil. I told you about the man named George Washington Carver. He was an inventor. He was a black man out of Alabama. He went to join Booker T. Washington at Tuskegee University or Tuskegee Institute at that time. And he said he invented things from the peanut, everything from children's crayons to face cream. And he invented those things. He said, but I never toil for answers. Here's the word he used. I never grope for answers. And I looked up the word grope, and the word grope means to search by feeling in the dark. The enemy wants us to feel in the dark. He wants us to try to guess what to do. Oh Lord, what are we going to do now? And let me try this and see if it works. No. Your days of groping, your days of toiling, your days of hit and miss, your days of trial and error, they're over. God can give you the exact answer that you need for anything. Where is it? It's in the economy of God. Where is that? That's in heaven. It's an invisible place where God has everything for you, everything from provision for food, for he even had wine to reproduce. He has everything. He has healing. He has ideas. He has wisdom. He has resources. It's all in the economy of heaven. Now, what are Jesus teaching them to do? I want to tap into that economy. I want to stop trying to grow for an answer or try to figure out what to do. I want to use my faith and superimpose the invisible over the visible. Now I got an answer for everything. Jesus said, wait a minute, we fished all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, put it up there again, I'll let down the net. Not nets, net. Put it up on the board, please. Net. One net. He didn't tell him net. Why? Because God's got more than for a net. He said for he wanted to give him a great increase. Now watch what he did. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, thy word, I'll let down the net. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. And that net, what? Broke. Keep going. And they beckoned to their partners, which in the other ships, that they'd come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Watch this. Glory to God. And Simon, when he saw it, fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Why? For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of big catch of fish which they had taken. Now watch this. God works on the basis of supply and demand. One more time. God works on the basis of supply and demand. One more time. God works on the basis of supply and demand. Now, yesterday I was preaching in Africa. Preaching a business meeting, and I said that. And then I had a question and answer period after that. And one of the gentlemen at the floor raised his hand and asked a question. Said, Pastor Winston, I thought it was demand and supply. I said, no. He said, well, why do you say supply and demand? I said, for this simple reason. The supply was there before the demand was put on. Now, when did it get there? Put up Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. When did it get there? When did the supply get there? Here it is. All right? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed you with all spiritual blessings where? In heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen you in him before when? The foundation of the world. When were you chosen? When were you chosen? When were the blessings put there? You see, when, Lord have mercy. God is finished. He did everything for you. God's going to heal me. No, you got the wrong fine. God has already healed you. What you're going to do is use your faith and access that healing. See, that's why you don't need to cry for healing. Oh, I hope he heals. You don't need to hope. He already did. That's like somebody said, I hope he saves me. He already did. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, please. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Now watch this. Now I'm just saying this because I don't know who you are or where you come from. But you don't need to rely on your government anymore. Yeah, come on. You don't need to rely on your auntie anymore, your cousin anymore. Come on. You don't need to rely on the borrowing system of the world anymore because you can get it without it. I'm saying God is supporting his children. He knows that if he doesn't take care of his kids will defect. And he wants to take care of you. I don't want my wife downtown buying another man, buying her some lingerie. He won't have to see me. No, God takes care of his kids. He's not an absentee father. He's right on the case. And what he said, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Next verse. And to an inheritance incorruptible and what? Undefiled, that what? Fadeth not away. Where is reserved? Where is it reserved? Come on. Where is it reserved? In heaven for you. What's in heaven? Enormous provision. How do I know that? Turn to Genesis chapter 41. I'm almost done. I know you're getting tired. You're getting, feel like you want to go home and eat some chicken. The reason why I'm showing you this is because all this is laid up for you. And this is made so you don't have to beg the world for anything. God's got your back. Let's start reading in verse 48. This is Joseph now when he was raised up in Egypt. Check it out. Genesis 41, verse 48. And he gathered up all the food for 7 years, which were in the land of Egypt. And he laid up the food in the cities, in the food in the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. Check it out. And Joseph gathered corn as the what? Sand of the sea. Very much until he left what? Numbering. For it was what? Without number. Joseph is a type of Jesus. When he saved you, he laid up all the provisions for you. Now, how do you get it? By faith. Watch this. Supply and demand. Let me give you a good picture of that. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Well, Pastor, I haven't heard anybody else teach this. Well, does that not make it true? Let me tell you. I thank God for all the mentors and all the people that I've had. Right. Yes. But Jesus is my example. Yes. Come on. Because he said, the things that I do, yes, I want you to do too. Yes. See, they may fail me at some point. No, I'm trusting they won't. But my point to you is, I can always point to Jesus and go in this book, and he says that he is my, he said, come unto me, all that labor, put it up there, Matthew, Lord have mercy, I'm getting all these scriptures that's running in my mind. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And come on, whoever's handling me back there, get like, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, watch this, and learn of what? Me. Let me put it in my words. Let me be your teacher.
Yes, sir.
Well, Pastor, you know, I'm not sure we're supposed to know all the Bible. Well, you can't know it if Jesus is not the
right.
teacher.
Come on. Yes, sir.
You're supposed to know everything that's in there.
Yes.
That's what it's in there for. It's for you to know it.
Yes.
So I just let him teach me.
Mm.
What you're sitting in right now
yes,
is what he taught me.
Amen.
He taught me this. That, nobody, no preacher that I knew had a shopping mall.
Right.
I learned from him. I'm telling you.
Yes, sir.
So, some of y'all need a new version.
Yeah.
We on 6.8. All right, let's just look at this. Okay. All right, upgrade your thinking.
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm here for. All right. I'm done with that. Let's go back to 2 Kings in chapter 4. Can I have just a few more minutes? I mean, it's snowing outside. You can't go anywhere. Just may as well just take your shoes off and be comfortable. Praise God. Amen. Amen. What I'm telling you is some stuff here now. I'm telling you, this is the way these guys from Africa did this. They listening to this.
Right.
They don't take it and listen to it one time. That I told you, I just told you last week. I got a tape I'm listening to. I know I've listened to it 20 times.
Right.
Between a CD. Between track 4 and track 9, I know it's been about 20 times. Why? Because every time I hear something different. Now, the clearer you can see it, or the clearer you can, glory to God, what I want to say, the clearer the vision, the faster the acceleration towards your known goal. Sure, he just told you one thing. He says, as far as you can see, what does he say? I'm going to give it to you. Let's flip it up. If you can't see it, I can't transfer it. So I want to see everything. I said I want to see everything. All right, look what it says. What did I say? We work on the basis of supply and what?
Demand.
That's the way the covenant works. Some people are just sitting there trying to get healed. Uh-uh. You got to place a demand on it.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3, put it up there. God pours water on ground that's thirsty. And I believe there are people in Africa that are thirsty. They are placing a demand on this anointing that's on my life. And they're getting fed. Oh, that's just another preacher. Well, see, that's the problem. You remember in Mark chapter 6, Jesus could do no mighty works, what? In his own hometown because of what?
Unbelief.
What did they say about him? Oh, that I knew him. He's a carpenter. He'd fixed my sink down there, you know, 5 months ago. Well, everybody was something before they got to be a prophet. I go home now, and in my hometown. Bill Winston is a what? A preacher? Oh, you lying. There ain't no way he's a preacher. Don't believe that. Don't believe that. They can't believe that I could change.
Right.
Amen. But see, what they don't know is the man they knew died.
Yeah.
This is a new man.
Yeah.
I'm brand new on the inside. This body is not me. This body's going to fall away and go to the dust. The real me is up in here.
Yeah.
Hey. All right, take your time. Okay, all right. Take my time. All right, let's put it up there again. Now remember, it works on the basis of what? Supply and demand. No demand, no supply. The provisions are all there, but he won't release them unless the demand is put on. Here we go. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets to Elijah, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. You know that my servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take him to my two sons to be bondmen." Now what's happening here? Her husband died. All right? Y'all got a few more minutes. Can I just? Okay. All right. Husband died. All right. Now the husband supposed to be what we call the head of the house. Now why he had got that? It wasn't a title given by people. It was given by God. Why? Because he was the Latin word fundus. He was the foundation of the existence of the family. Why? God went to the dirt one time to get a man. Why? Because he was the foundation. Then inside the man, he got the rib to make the woman. Got it? Why? Because she's the sides, the roof, and everything else. You got what I'm saying? All right, now, I'm just saying that this man was supposed to be, one of his jobs, is the provider. But he was supposed to provide for the family under God.
Right, right, right.
So God was really the provider.
Right.
Say amen. So when I sat at the table, and my children, well, they're grown now, but I sat at the table and we prayed, what did I say? Father, I thank you for these provisions.
Right, right.
Why? Because I'm letting them know I'm under him. Now just watch this now. Now this, we're going to deviate. We're coming back here. Supply and demand. Say it again. Look at Numbers chapter 11. Over in Numbers chapter 11. Put that scripture up there, please. Now, in Numbers chapter 11, this is when the children of Israel had come out of Egypt. Now, they want some meat. They're just tired of manna. They want some meat. And so God said, okay. Here's what he said. He said, "Moses, say to the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh. You shall eat flesh. For you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, 'Who shall give us flesh to eat?' For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore, the Lord will give you flesh, and you shall eat. You shall not eat it one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month till it runs out of your nose. And it will be loathsome unto you because you have despised the Lord," meaning you've treated him very low, "the Lord, which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, 'Why came we forth out of Egypt?'" Next verse. And Moses said to the people, "The people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen." Now, you've got to stay with me on this. 600,000 footmen. "And thou hast said, 'I will give them flesh, that they may eat a whole month.' Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them, or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them?" And the Lord said unto Moses, "Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now." Maintenant. Now, whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or what? Or not. What is happening here? The enemy's temptation is to try to seduce you into keeping, glory to God, you within the limits of your own human reason. The seduction of Satan is to try to get you to figure out how God's going to do this. God has a custom-made solution for every person in here. One more time. God has a custom-made solution for everyone in here. Now, when I say custom-made, you know, if you get a suit that's custom-made, it's made for you. If I put your suit on, it's not made for me. It's made for you.
Right.
Why? Because he knows your ends and wide parts and you know. over here. Do y'all get that, what I'm saying here? Y'all got it? Because he knows. So he's got, now this is very important. Because he knows what you like. He knows, let me preach it. He knows what you like. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Amen. You all right. Hey, me and you, brother. He knows what you like. Watch this in 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm just deviating now. I'm coming back to 2 Kings chapter 4. Look at 2 Kings chapter 6. Just put it up there real quick. Chapter 5. And notice what happened here. I think it's verse 10. If you put it up, 2 Kings, huh? You got it up there. Okay. Hey, amen. I'll see you at 3 o'clock. Okay, so what happened? Watch this. Here's come the leper. He wants to get healed. Remember, God makes you whole. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Now, wait a minute. Don't let the enemy talk you out of part of your wholeness. He didn't come to just get your body healed. He came to get your finances healed. Don't let the enemy get you to hold back. He's a negotiator. So what happened? Here comes the leper. He's a Syrian captain. Very, very high-ranking official. Came to the prophet. Rode up at the door. I mean, I'm just envisioning this. And he said, the servant of the prophet Gehazi was out there. He said, tell you, your prophet there, I need to get healed. That the king of Syria sent me. Prophet's in there. Probably just looking at the word. Who's out there? Said, well, what's the king second in command? Tell him to go dip 7 times in the River Jordan. Went out there and told him. Said, excuse me, sir. He said, go dip 7 times in the River Jordan. And here's what he said. And Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thou flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be what? Clean. Now, what did he do in response? He rode away. He said, I thought he'd at least come out and put his hand on me. See, he's used to people bowing down. But that's part of his problem, is pride. So God has a unique deliverance strategy to take care of pride. And he's got a unique strategy for you. Got a unique strategy for you. You need some money, you're so far. He got a strategy for it. Now, what has happened? We don't seek him. We're acting like we're without God, but you're not. He's on your side. Why? He's got provisions already laid up because he saw that day coming. He got your back. And so what happened? Notice he rode away mad. Now the servant is running alongside him. Master, if he'd have said for you to do something great, wouldn't you have done that? Well, yeah. Well, why don't you go dip? You know, I'm just saying this myself. Okay. He said, why don't you go dip? He turns around, goes to dip. Why? Because God resists the proud. And you'll wonder why those things haven't come in.
Right.
So God has a strategy for you to get rid of all the roadblocks to your blessing.
Hallelujah.
I'm preaching better than you saying amen. Does that make any difference? Wait a minute. Somebody said, wow, I haven't been to college. I haven't been. Doesn't make any difference.
Come on, Doug.
I remember a man, he came up here. I said, I'd like to testify. I said, okay. I didn't know him. He said, I gave him the mic very, you know, cautiously. And he said, I'm out of prison. I said, oh, Lord, what is it? Where are we going now? He said, but let me tell you what happened. I got born again. When I got born again, remember, when the kingdom comes, everything changes. When I got born again, I got released. When I got released, I got a job at minimum wages. I was mowing lawns. And then I got another job working at a manufacturing plant making $12 an hour. And then I started working on my own business. I got my own business. And now I'm making $40,000 a month. I've got a 7-bedroom home. I got 2 Mercedes, an SUV, and a Rolls Royce on order. And I got a jacuzzi. Now, he couldn't even pronounce it. I don't know how you'll pronounce it in French. But he couldn't even pronounce it. He couldn't even pronounce it. But he had one. And he said, I've never learned to read or write. Because you don't need to know how to read or write. All you need to do is know how to listen and speak. So it doesn't make any difference how much. Because don't disqualify yourself. When the kingdom comes, everything changes. Now, what you need to do is listen for his instructions for your life, because he's not going to give you the same instructions he gave me. He gave me the instructions because he's trying to do something with my heart. He's giving you those instructions because he's going to do something with your heart. Are we okay? Now, let me just wrap it up. So, what happened? Go back to 1 Kings chapter 4. So what did the man do? Let me just give you the story. He dipped one time. Now, I know when he came up that first time, he tried to talk the man of God out of the river and try to get him to dip in a clean river. But the man of God sent him to a muddy river. He'll send you sometime where you don't want to go. And he'll do that because he's trying to get the best in your life. So what happened? Two times. Mud everywhere. Here's his men.
Well, look at boss man.
3 times. But he was desperate. And sometimes it takes desperation to make a demand on that covenant. 7 times coming up is what Job said. Put it up there. Job chapter 33:25. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. That's your promise. Yes. Having skin problems, that's your promise. See, he's got something in there for everybody. He's not just coming to help you. He's coming to make you whole. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Don't let the devil steal part of your promise.
Yes, sir.
Well, my kids are acting up. You got a promise for it. You can put an end to that. My husband is, I know you got a promise for that. I've talked about all these things. It's all in the book. That's why that Bible is so dangerous. Right. That's why the enemy doesn't want you to come here. Right. Next, 2 Kings. I'm going to finish this up. I'm going. 2 Kings chapter. And he returned. Chapter 4. Uh-huh. Praise God. And Elijah said to her, what do you have in your house? Tell me. What have you in your house? And she said, I don't have anything in the house save a pot of oil. Watch this. And Elijah said to her, and then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Don't borrow a few now. And when thou art come in, shut the door upon you and upon your sons. And you shall pour out into all these vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Check it out. And she went from him. She shut the door upon her and her sons, and who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, she said, bring me another vessel. And they said to her, we don't have another one. And the oil, come on, stop. It stopped because there was no more demand. It's not that there was no more provision. It was that there was no more demand. So I could come right here, right now, and you have a problem, you can call your prophet. You don't need to call me at home. You can call me by the Spirit. You can, your spirit can dip into my spirit and place a demand on it, and I'll come up preaching something I never planned to preach. And the reason why I'll preach it is because you're putting a demand on my anointing. I am your servant.
Yes, you are.
So, you know, went out to Southside to do a funeral, got there about an hour too early. I didn't know it, got the wrong time. And I told the funeral director, I said, well, listen, let me go and get a cup of tea or something. Is there a McDonald's close by? He said, yeah, there sure is. I said, where is it? He said, it's down the street there, about two blocks. I said, okay, well, I'll just walk down there. It's a beautiful spring morning. I can walk. He said, no, let us chauffeur you down there. We'll carry you. I said, no, let me just walk. So I walked down there. By the time I got to the McDonald's, I came to the parking lot. And when I came to the parking lot, I started crossing. And a voice rang out from a car. There's a man of God! I said, whoa, who is that? Well, I ignored it and walked on in McDonald's. She'd seen me on television. And all of a sudden, I'm standing in line. The door swung open. There's a man of God! I said, oh, Lord, have mercy. And she was a very heavy-set lady walking on a cane. She could hardly walk. And she'd come in talking. I knew it was my day. I said when I got up this morning, something say, this is your day. And she said, and she was walking just busy talking. Everybody's now looking at her, looking at me. I said, man, I said, what? This lady, and something said, she wants you to lay hands on her. I said, well, I'm going to lay hands on her, too. And she came close enough. She's still talking. I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. The cane went up in the air. The lady went back like that and said, I told you it was my day. I told you. What did she do? Put a demand on that anointing. And I'm telling you, this is not only your day. This is your week. This is your month. This is your year. You're going to do something this year that you've never done before. Now give God praise for it in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Sometimes you have to get a little desperate. And sometimes God's people are so comfortable that we lose our desperation. They don't care whether we get it or not, or come see, come saw, you know, que sera, sera. And that is not the attitude with God. God says he is pouring water on ground that's thirsty. He said he'll give you the desire of your heart. Now, what is desire? Desire is not, oh, I could take it or leave it. That is not desire. Desire is this, I gotta have it. That's what desire is. Desire is, I'm going to that meeting tonight and I'm gonna get me an answer for these marriage problems in my life. I'm gonna get an answer. Folks, when I was in seminary and graduate school, I took some courses that first semester. I got all these courses. I'm thinking I'd been away from school for a while. I'm thinking that I could handle this. I went to those courses and some of those Greek words and so forth and so on. I said, oh, Lord, what have I done? He said, wait a minute. Don't panic. I got a solution. He said, go and look in Proverbs 10 and you'll see that the memory of the righteous is blessed. He said, take that and begin to say that scripture. Now, what am I doing? Once you say that scripture, the Bible says in Luke 8:11, that the seed is the word of God. So I'm going to take a seed, put it in my mouth, and sow it in the soil of my heart. Once I speak it in there, the soil makes a demand on the seed. You see, you can take a post, a wooden post, and stick it in the ground. Come back in 3 or 4 years. That soil would have tried to grow that post because it's designed to grow what you sow into it. So I sow, the memory of the righteous is blessed. Praise God, my mind is blessed. So forth. After it starts coming up, first the blade comes up. This is Mark chapter 4. And then my wife said this, sweetheart, God spoke to me in prayer. And this is what he said. He said that if you just study 3 hours a day, you'll make any grades you want to make. I said, well, praise God. Now notice what he's doing, giving me a strategy based on my personality to get to my wealthy place. So what did I do? 3 hours a day. Sometimes it was 2.5. Then I made up the next day and so forth. At a certain certain point, it's harvest time. And then the Spirit spoke to me. He said, decree what you want. Well, that comes out of Job chapter 22 and verse 28. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established. So I said this. Bless God, I'm making four A's and three B's. Now, why I didn't say all A's, I can't tell you. But I said four A's and three B's. What happened? My report card came. Guess what I had? You will have what you say. Now, what am I saying? Whether you're in school, whether you're a single mom, watch this, with 10 kids, makes no difference. God's got a way to get you out. He's got a way to meet every need. Jesus came to teach us how to get the need met independent of hard labor.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The woman went, sold the oil, paid the debt, and lived on the rest. He turned this woman into a commodities woman. I mean, he blessed her with an oil. Boy, somebody in here right now gonna get some oil. There's some oil, either stock or well or something. Glory to God.
Yes, sir.
Can you say amen and give God praise for it? All right. That preaching was not for my health. It was for your wealth. Whether it's your body, whether it's your relationship, whether it's your money, whatever it is, God's about to do it. Watch this. He can cancel your debt before May 1st. All of it. House, everything. Go get some seed. If you're here and you know in your life that you're not right with God, you said, hey, I'm not in the right place with God, but I'd like to be. You're where I was years ago. I came out of the military, a fighter pilot, you know, and once you're a fighter pilot, you think you can whoop the world. You think you just can do anything. And so this attitude was about me. But something was happening because I was at a job. They cut me back on my salary because I went on quota with IBM and computers. And when they did that, things started happening. I couldn't sell anything. Nothing was happening. And I was trying to live on half the salary. And what happened? I'm trying to feed the kids, trying to do all of this, but I didn't know anything about the kingdom. And so then one night I came home after having two jobs, trying to make ends meet. And I cried. And I said, Lord, would you please help me? And I remembered years ago in that old Baptist church that Mom and Dad took me to, that the preacher said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I knew it was something I needed. I tried everything I knew to do. I borrowed to money till I couldn't borrow anymore. I was wearing sharp suits, but I owed everybody in town. The phone would ring and they didn't.